Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verses 29 through 37. You can send your questions or comments to our email address, bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can mail your question or comment by U.S. Postal, along with any check or money order contributions made out to Bible Believers Fellowship, and send those to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. You can also find our email address and our mailing address there at any time you need it. And now we begin with our current events update, and we want to make clear that while providing information about the outright satanic agenda of the Democrat Party in this country at this time, we are not endorsing any particular political party. We do not give our endorsement of any party or candidate, but we reserve our God-given and constitutionally protected right to inform you of the facts as they stand at this time and are setting the stage for the Antichrist world government using the policies and agenda of the Democrat Party. We will then begin our study in Luke chapter 10, verses 29 through 37, with a study titled, The Good Samaritan. This is one of two.
For our current events update, the battle between good and evil. Most of you are aware there is a battle going on. What we're dealing with in this country right now are wicked liberals. Every country in their history has a group of people who are wicked and want power. And when the good people, good being in a human sense, generally speaking, I always have the theologian who corrects me because the Bible says there's none good. But that's in comparison to God. But in comparison to the wicked, there are good. And in this country, it's liberals. In other countries, they've had different parties, Communist Party, Socialist Party, Nazi Party, wicked people. This is an example of the wicked people here in America. In California, the wicked Democrat Party in California passed a bill saying that retailers will be fined $1,000 for having separate boys and girls sections in their stores. It's the sodomites who are trying to erase the issue or the question of sex. They want it to be, what is there? I don't know. Some people say there's hundreds of genders. The Bible and science says you're either male or female. And they'll go find an exception. And there are exceptions when it comes to hermaphrodites. There are people who are born, but those, see, are deformities. The standard is not the deformity.
That's right.
The standard is, scientifically, there are male and female, and when there's any kind of a mix-up genetically that causes any kind of problem, that's the exception. And there are very few of those. And we talk about the percentage of the human population. Well, this is all about just trying to make everybody a pervert. They want everybody to be a pervert. The pervert means you don't think right. You turn things, you twist it around. God says there's male and female. They want you to think otherwise. God says marriage is between one man and one woman. They want you to think otherwise. God says you should raise your children as little girls or little boys, and they want you to, like these Hollywood nuts, telling everybody that they're going to let their child choose what gender they are. And they're not even putting gender on their birth certificate anymore. In some states, they're saying the kid will choose later. But then decent Americans, maybe a better word than the good, but those are conservatives and Christians. Now, some of you know this, but the reason why I'm making these remarks is because for years, the evangelical church has been full of people, preachers, singers, entertainers, authors, who try to tell you that the labels Christian or conservative and liberal don't really mean anything. The important thing is that you are saved. See, that's just a lie.
Amen.
If you're a liberal, then by definition, you reject absolute truth.
Yep.
And if you reject absolute truth, you can't be saved. If there's someone calling themselves a liberal and they're a Christian, they are just totally clueless. They're using the wrong word for themselves. They might be a libertarian, or they might be a conservative who is just clueless about, you know, the issues. But if someone is a liberal, then by definition, they reject absolute truth, which means they reject Jesus Christ because He is the truth. So go up to that liberal and say, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, ask that liberal if they believe that everyone who rejects Jesus Christ goes to hell. If they're a real liberal, they will tell you they think Jesus lied. They do not believe Jesus. And so that's why we're making these, pointing these things out. Now, this is what decent, as I said, decent Americans, Christians and conservatives, in Tennessee and Mississippi, they still have legislators who are not insane. And they passed a ban on transgender athletes competing in girls' sports. In other words, in Tennessee and Mississippi, and shame on Ohio if we don't join them, in those states, boys are not allowed to beat up on girls. Amen. By just saying, I feel like a girl. Drop your drawers. I see that you're a man. Get out of the girls' locker room. Amen. 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 That's as simple as it is. We've thrown simple common sense out the window. Right. And boys are beating up on girls and ruining girls' sports. Girls that have trained for years are having their sport destroyed by liberals. And it angers me, not just because I had girls. We're supposed to love everybody, amen? Don't you love girls? So why, if Americans love girls, why are they letting boys beat up on them? Why are they letting boys destroy their sports? I love them enough to tell them the truth. It does anger me. Couldn't tell, could you? So the differences have never been more clear. The agenda of the Democrat Party is satanic. Amen. And any Republican, Libertarian, or Independent who joins them in this crusade is satanic. But I didn't put it in the Democrat Party platform. The Democrats did. And I'm going to call them out. And so should you, and so should every man, woman, child in this country has enough sense to know what's going on. They should be calling out the Democrats for being a satanic political cult. Amen. They stopped being a political party long ago. And you don't speak out now, you'll find yourself in camps. The Democrat Party agenda is to murder unborn babies, to confiscate guns so you can't do anything but bow to the government, to censor and intimidate. So with the whole, all these communists, these corporate communists at Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, they are censoring. And when I was a kid in the 80s and early 90s, that was the worst thing anybody could call you, was a censor. Now, these communists wear it as a badge of pride. Yep. Socialist health care, which, by the way, which means they can let your grandma or your mother or whoever's elderly just die. Socialist redistribution, where they can tax you and then give your money to people that they know will continue to vote for them. This has nothing to do with the poor. This has everything to do with buying votes. And the Democrat Party agenda is all about globalism and anti-sovereignty. God establishes nations. Satan wants a one-world government. Now, this is a Democrat leader, one of the most powerful men in our country, Jerry Nadler. And he said, God's will is no concern of this Congress. You're telling me the Democrat Party isn't satanic? Remember, I think it was one of the Obama conventions where when somebody talked about God, they booed? Kicking God out. They want in God we trust off your money. They want under God out of the pledge. And so we just have to be aware of what's going on. But folks, I'm telling you, you've got to speak up. You've got to educate. I don't care if they don't want to hear it. If people don't want to hear it and they don't speak to you anymore and you've listened to what I said today and you do that, I just did you a favor. You don't need people like that in your life. When it comes down to time, they're going to be the ones to turn you in and hand you over to the government. That's the beauty of our system is we're not a democracy. We have representatives. And so what you do is be a royal pain in the neck and write them and call them. And if you have to, put signs in your yard to harass them if they are violating their oath. And if everybody who loves this country would do that, it would change things. But the mass majority of Americans never write their congressman, never write their senator, don't have the guts to do anything except for, you know, complain and moan. And that's why I tell you, you pray about it, you speak out about it, you write a letter, make a phone call, do these things in order to let them know you're watching them. And if it's a Republican or an independent or whoever, you let them know you're not going to vote for them. If they're not going to take a stand for you, you're not going to vote for them. That's all we can do. I mean, that's usually enough. Because they love their job. They love their jobs. I mean, they if you threaten their jobs, that's when they act. I mean, we've had some really bad senators and congressmen here in Ohio, but a lot of times they come through because they know they'll lose their job if they don't. We're in Luke 10. The Good Samaritan. Very familiar story to most of us. Might be a nugget or two in here as we go along that you find new and interesting, but I assure you there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. Everything that's been in God's Word has been there from the beginning, but it's new to us and that makes it exciting. And in Luke 10, we left off verse 29, and we're going to read through verse 37. And I'd like for you to join me with the odd verses beginning in verse 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. All God's people say amen. Amen. So Jesus had been dealing with a self-righteous legalist when you see where we pick up there, verse 28. But the man he's talking to knew he was not fulfilling the first great commandment to love the Lord with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and all thy mind. And I hope you don't think less of me for being honest with you, but I never feel like I fulfill that commandment. There are times where I really set out to do so, and I'm like a dog out on a pretty day like today, and I get my focus, and all of a sudden I'm like, squirrel! How many of you are distracted that easily?
Yeah.
I mean, all of you all raise your hand are honest, the rest of you are liars. I didn't ask you to raise your hand, so don't feel guilty. But verse 29, says, but he willing to justify himself. Sounds like a guilty conscience. Amen. You ever notice guilty consciences always have to justify themselves? And if you have kids, sometimes you'll know they're guilty by the way they respond when you ask them if they've done something. They've come up with some really inventive answers. And the expression on their face, it's like Shakespeare. Methinks thou she dost protest too much. You know, you ask your little girl if... I had one of those and she had her back to me, but I knew she had been into the chocolate. And so I said, I won't use your name. Don't want to embarrass, but I called her name. She turned around and I said, have you been into the chocolate? And then she starts to tell me all this stuff. She came up. I said, wait, before you tell me any more of your story, can you go look in the mirror? The chocolate was all around her face. And that's how guilty consciences work. They have to justify themselves. And by the way, this is how James, in his epistle, uses the word justify in his epistle. And at this time, we are on Wednesdays beginning our study in the book of James. And we talked about how the word saved, salvation even. Those words aren't always talking about your eternal salvation. And the word justify and justified, there are references, plain teaching about us being justified legally before God. And we are justified by faith, it says. But then there are also times where the word justify or justified isn't talking about salvation. Here is one of them. It's also, we'll see in James 2:24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Because whole cults and denominations don't pay attention to the use of the word justified there. They then teach that works do justify, because that's what it seems to apply. It says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. And those of us who say it's by grace through faith, not of works, which the Bible clearly says in Ephesians 2:8-9. And yet they'll ignore that clear teaching and they'll turn to something like this. And you see how easy it was to trip all those entire denominations and cults up? The one word justified defined wrongly. And he's not talking about eternal salvation there. And we're not talking about him being justified before God here. He's trying to justify himself in front of those who are hearing him, the people, including Jesus. He's trying to justify himself. So Jesus will now teach him using a parable. Now, a parable is basically I might have it right there. It's a metaphorical tale. It's not a lie, but it's not a true story either. It's not an account of something. It is a story meant to teach something. And it's the use of metaphor. There are Christians out there, believe it or not, who teach that fiction is a sin. And so if you read, we have a few fictional books in our library, Christian fiction. How many of you have heard of the Pilgrim's Progress? Yeah. There are people who teach that is a lie. It's wrong. It's wrong to have been written. It's wrong to read. And there are Christians who don't allow any fiction in their houses or church libraries or wherever. And that's just false. And I've only actually been confronted a couple of times with people like that, but I always ask them, how do you explain that Jesus used parables, which is fiction? And they'll just pretend they'll just deny it. They'll deny that this is a parable. And so I know John's had some run-in with people who have a real problem identifying parables. And you can take them to scripture verses where it says, and Jesus used parables. Yep. And so just knowing your Bible, folks, will save you from a lot of error. Amen. Not even what you would learn wrongly. But you can be pulled in by people who you think know what they're talking about. And they'll pull you into all kinds of error. It's a metaphorical tale. It is based in truth. It's teaching truth. But If you see in parables, there are no actual people named. That's why later we'll come to Luke 16 and whole, again, denominations and cults will deny that hell is real. And they'll take the story of the rich man and Lazarus and say that that's a parable, even though it's not a metaphorical tale. And he uses real names, including Abraham and Lazarus. So we'll come to that later. So you need to remember that. There's more we could say, but that's the gist of a parable. And you can understand when you're reading a parable and when you're not. And it'll really help you if you grasp that. So in verse 30, Jesus hears his question. He asks, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." So this certain man, we can, I think, assume that he's a Jew. And he's going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. But keep in mind, that's all you're told about this guy. He's a certain man. Now, you see there I said from best to worst of cities. It's kind of like, we're talking crime rate here. We're talking sin level. In Jerusalem, there's plenty of sin, but Jericho, there's the bottoms, as they call a lot of times. The bottoms. I grew up in southern Ohio, and there was Wheelersburg is where I was born and raised. And our rival was the West Portsmouth Senators was the name of their school, but they would call themselves the West Siders. And so we would call them the Worst Siders. Yeah. And, you know, that this kind of rivalries can be fun. And Mike and I were talking about sports and everything. People get carried away with them. But I do like the Michigan-Ohio State game every year, and the jokes are great. And I always have to apologize to my Michigan brethren and tell them, for 1 week, you're just going to have to consider me backslidden because I'm telling the jokes. And that's kind of the way this thing was viewed, even though Michigan's a beautiful place, I have to tell you. It's beautiful. But let's be honest, there in most cities, there are neighborhoods where before you ever visit or move there, you better find out where those are and stay away from them. And here in Columbus, it's like comparing Worthington. We have some crime here, but very low. Compare it to Hilltop.
Yep.
Or Linden.
Yep.
When you turn on the news, those are the places you hear most often. The short east side, you know, Near East or whatever they call that area. And used to be short north, but not so much anymore. But he says that this man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, it says, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. This guy wasn't too bright. Let's just be honest. You don't travel from Jerusalem to Jericho alone.
Amen.
And some of these stories you read about our history, the United States of America, when people went west. These poor folks who would just go off, just a man, a woman, and a couple of kids, sometimes without much of any kind of guns and ammo or even or anything to protect themselves, and they'd never be heard from again.
Yep.
But the ones who went in caravans, went in, what would they call them? There's a word for it. Wagon, huh?
Train.
Yeah, what?
Train.
The wagon train. There you go. There was like one wagon after another and dozens of them sometimes. Circle the Wagons. And I mean, there's some of the great movies have that as a part of the... That it didn't always work out. Who are the folks that ended up eating them, each other? The Donner Party, yeah. I mean, it didn't always work out. But you sure had a better chance that way than to going off by yourself. And that's really what we're reading here. This guy, you know, sadly, wasn't too bright. Shouldn't have been traveling alone like that. It doesn't say anybody else was with him. So that's true. I'm not just talking about Westerns, folks. That's true of you. I love you enough to interject this into this study. You should have a weapon to protect yourself. If it's not a gun, you should have a pepper spray. You should have your, everybody has a phone. Don't leave home without it. Make sure you can call somebody. You shouldn't travel alone, especially if you're female. And you shouldn't be out at night alone, especially if you're female. I'm just telling you like it is. News media and your culture can act like there's no difference between men and women. I'll tell you the one difference. The crooks will take a chance on a woman, but they wouldn't take a chance on a man. You have somebody, especially our big burly men in here, walking around, the crooks aren't going to pick on them. They'll pick on the little ladies. But if the little lady has a Ruger, she just took the lead. Amen. And if you don't have the Ruger and he tries to attack you and you spray him in the eyeballs with mace, you just win. Now run.